What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Let's welcome in Jared Goff, who's just wrapped up practice. What's
Hello.
Up? How are you?
1 second.
All right. He's getting a drink of water straight off the practice field.
So I'm good, man. How are you guys doing?
We're good. You prefer the squirt bottle or the actual bottle?
You know, I do prefer the squirt bottle. I do.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a little bit easier accessible during practice, but I guess right now the bottle's fine.
I'm afraid of the squirt bottles. There was an incident in high school. Back when I played high school football, Jared. There was an incident where I saw somebody mixing up I think it was called Quick Kick at the time. It was kind of like a Gatorade product. And it was the coach's son who was mixing it up, and he used his whole arm.
Oh, yeah, no, that's no good. We've got protocols in place for that now. They're not allowed to do that anymore.
Thank God for COVID.
Yeah, right. Holy smokes.
Congratulations, new father.
Yeah,
how
thank you guys.
It?
Yeah, it's been great. It's been great. Mama's been doing the heavy lifting, but I've been there for a lot of the fun parts and enjoying being her dad, and she's doing a great job, and I wish I could be home more often right now, but duty calls a little bit, but she's doing a hell of a job.
What has been the biggest change in your life that old Jared Goff could do or used to do and now just can't?
Since having a daughter?
Yeah.
Things that I could do. I mean, we're home a lot right now, so going to dinner is something that seems like such a challenge right now, whereas before it was something we could do easily. You know, I mean, I'm a new father, but you guys who have kids know that, like, the whole world kind of revolves around them now. Yep. To some extent of what their schedule is and when they're going to sleep, when they're going to eat. So, my whole schedule's changed a bit.
So you got a while before the kid gets mobile, but have you started to childproof the house already? And
yeah, there's some things on doorknobs and some sharp objects that we kind of put up higher. But yeah, she's not mobile by any means, and she's doing great though.
Your dog Quincy became sort of a personality, yeah. And then the TV show Quarterback helped with that.
Yeah,
how's Quincy reacted to?
Quincy's been good. Quincy's a little bit indifferent on baby girl. He's he could take it or leave it. But he's been awesome. He's protective and loves laying there when she's sleeping.
That's pretty great. I this is it's awesome, and I'm sure your teammates are proud that you did this before the season began, before training camp took
yeah,
place.
Yeah, there was a lot of planning going on there to get that ahead of the season to help us, you know, enter the training camp a little more smoothly.
All right, how's training camp going?
It's good. It's been good. It's been fun. It's been warmer days out here, which I think will be good for us in the long run, and easy for me to say it at quarterback, and I don't have to be running around as much. These guys probably wish it was 60 degrees every day, and I understand that, but I think it's been good for us. I think it's been really fun to be out here and go through a little bit of a grind in the heat, and certainly having good days, having not so good days. So there's some challenges. We're overcoming some stuff, as training camp should be, and it's been fun.
Jared, I know you want to get better in every facet of your game, but is there something specific that you want to be better about this version of Jared Goff than a year ago?
Yeah, I think, you know, in the latter half of my career, it's always kind of been like being better at getting to 3 and 4, and it's continuing to be that way. You know, 1 and 2 in a progression, you'd like to think a good offense, you're getting that guy 1 or 2 open 60, 70% of the time. But being able in that 30, 40% of the time to accurately and quickly get to 3 and 4 and to know when to get there and to know, you know, where the ball needs to be and all that stuff I'm always working on. And it's a challenge, man. Not many guys are able to get all the way through it, and I try to take pride in doing that and keeping plays alive for offense.
There's always going to be challenges and changes year to year, but this year, a couple of big ones. You got a different coordinator who you've worked with before, but yeah. It's a different coordinator, different guy calling plays, and also no Frank Ragnow.
Yeah.
Can you talk us through what happened? Did you have a discussion with Frank? Did he let you know, or did Dan Campbell let
course.
You know? Or?
Of course, I talked to Frank, and I'm happy he made the decisions that's best for him. I think he was really battling with it, and I'm not going to put any words in his mouth, but I'm very happy that he's happy now and in a good place, and I'm pretty sure he feels good about the decision. And we talk, you know, here and there, you know, every week or so, and he's doing well.
What do you say to the fans that are like, oh, no, no Ben Johnson. Oh, no, no Frank Ragnow.
Who's saying that?
Fans.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I guess I don't have anything to say to them. We'll have to find out. You know, we've got good players to fill in. We've got a good coach to fill in. Those guys, obviously, Ben's a hell of a coach. Frank's a hell of a player. But that's why we have, you know, training camp and all this time to get better and get ready. And certainly still have a lot of really good players on this team and everyone that's been improving from last year.
What do you like most about John Morton, the new OC?
What do I like most about him? Great question. I think I love that he's very flexible and willing to listen. And by no means is that a slight on Ben. Ben was very similar in that way too. But I think that's one of his strengths right now, as a guy who's, you know, he did it with the Jets, but he's doing it again for the first time in a long time. He's very willing to listen to not only me, but St. Brown and Laporta and J-Mo and, like, Gibbs, Montgomery. Like, what do we like to do? What do we love doing up front? He's very much about getting input and applying it.
Have you had to take a little bit of a step back and let me see and engage how he's going to run things before you automatically volunteer your input?
Sure. Yeah, I think that was in OTAs, though. I think I feel we have a really good relationship at this point where I feel very comfortable saying what I think, and so does he to me. We're not trying to make each other feel good, and not that we're like arguing about anything, but it's like very direct and very how he wants it and very how I want it. And if we agree, great. If we disagree, we'll have a conversation, and that's the way it's supposed to go. There's nothing confrontational about it. It's just the way it's supposed to be.
Can you evaluate the two guys battling to be your backup, what you've seen from Hendon Hooker out here in practice and Kyle Allen? Because we don't see him every day. You do.
Yeah, I think they're both doing a great job. They're both improving every day and running the offense well. And it's been fun to see Hendon, I think, for 3 years continue to get better and better and starting to come into his own a little bit as a player. And then Kyle's new to me as a teammate, but he's gotten better since OTAs and doing a great job.
Speaking of guys and playing with guys for years now, it's one of the things that I think Doug and I both admire what Brad Holmes has done, kind of rebuilt this team, and you guys are all growing together. You know, like the fourth year for a lot of you guys. Do they still surprise you? Does Amon-Ra St. Brown still surprise you? Is Sam Laporta come up with something like, I haven't seen you do that, or Jamison Williams?
I mean, surprise is, I guess, the wrong word. I think I'm just, you know, so impressed by some of these guys. St. Brown made a catch the other day. He was running a fade, and I threw it back shoulder, and he caught it like this. And I don't know if I've ever seen it. It's kind of hard for you guys to picture that. But, yeah, and then J-Mo, and you saw J-Mo today make the long touchdown catch. No, it's not surprising. I think it's fun to watch and fun to see. These guys are all pro caliber players. They're some of the best players in the league. And, you know, I try to do my best to maximize them, and they try to do the same for me.
Not to shortchange anybody, but a player that has caught the fans' eye that they seem to love in the early going is the rookie Isaac Tesla.
Yeah, Michigan native.
How good is he?
He's great. He's been doing a good job. He's been getting better, too. And I think I saw it early last week, kind of a little bit of a flip switch for him where he realized, like, the speed of the game and kind of started to catch up to how fast everything moves and how physical he needs to be, and feeling more confident and comfortable. I can tell he is feeling, and that's always great for me. And I'm just trying to help him as best I can. And, again, just trying to do my best to push him along and maximize him. And again, he's a guy who wants to be pushed. He wants to be taught. And when you get players like that, like Brad continues to kind of bring in, it makes it really easy for me.
Another rookie on your side of the ball, Tate Ratledge, steps in. Looks like he's going to be the starting right guard. You got Glasgow at center. You've worked with Glasgow before at center. But talk about those two in the interior and also with Mahogany in the interior. Yeah. It's a, kind of a whole new group there.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's, you know, what training camp is so great for is the gelling of those guys. It's kind of a non-tangible thing that they are able to feel each other's pass-offs and pass protection. They're able to feel each other's, you know, B blocks, deuce blocks up to the linebacker. And I think that takes a little bit of time to get used to when it's different in there, but they're getting better at it every day. And Tate as a rookie has been so impressive to me, his maturity and his ability to handle information. And Mahogany, even, you know, him, I know he's not a rookie, but he didn't play as much last year. And he's going through some of those things too and doing a great job handling it. And like I said, as they continue to gel, things will only get better.
You can provide perspective that nobody else can. Can you tangibly tell that the defense is better, or is that impossible?
Hell yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What do you see?
They're much more confident and comfortable. I think mostly just because they're a year older, and all their dudes are back, and it's fun. It's fun to practice against. It is. It's a challenge. They make it really hard. Coach Shep's making it really hard on me. Those two guys in the back end with Kirby and Branch, I can't imagine a better two to practice against every day. DJ Reed's been a tremendous addition for us from leadership and pure ability. Obviously, the linebackers have done great, and then Hutch has been pretty unbelievable up to this point.
we've heard about the Hutch rules, and he's been disruptive enough where even if he gets back, they're let the play continue because it just what is yeah. How frustrating is that?
Yeah, it's like Aaron Donald back in the day. It's the same way. He's a guy who can ruin a game. He's certainly ruined practice for us a couple times offensively, and I'm so happy he's on our side, and I don't have to play against him.
Gator, we got to let him go, but you usually have some non-sports Jared Goff life questions. So
sure.
do you have anything for him?
The TV show Quarterback.
Yeah.
So we all got a chance to watch it. We enjoy it very much. Doug's very much enamored with the fire pit of Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins has sweet backyard.
He does have a nice yard, huh?
So, I mean, first of all, I'll save Doug the question here. How is your backyard game and your fire pit?
Ooh, good question.
And also,
we have a fire pit.
Excellent.
Don't use it very often, but we have one.
Is there something that happened during that show that your teammates or fans have come up to you and mentioned more often than not?
Oh, great question. I think the stumble bum got a lot of attention. Being able to see like the makings of that was, I thought, really cool, and I got a lot of people talking to me about that. To be honest, Quincy is like very much people sure. asking me about him all the time. He's become a little bit of a star in his own. Yeah, I think those would probably be the two. And then I think people were – I loved being able to pull the curtain back a little bit and show people what it's like. And I think all three of us did a great job of kind of letting them into our lives to some extent. And I thought it was fun. You know, I thought it was really cool to show people. I get a lot of feedback, honestly, from, like, the UK. Like, you know, it's similar to when we saw F1 on Netflix.
Right.
Right.
And got able to see that world. I think they don't get to see behind the curtain as much, you know, over there. And a lot of people that I know over there are loving it.
How's the fishing?
Right now, not great. A little hot. Yeah.
Do you have an F1 driver?
No, I don't. I don't really follow it that well. I guess I'll say Hamilton because
I'm a
casual fan. But yeah. No, I wish I watched it more.
Well, we did love Quarterback and, of course, watching you play.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Good to see you again and continued success.
Good to see you. I'll see you 18 times this week over the phone.
Good.
That's great.
I love it.
Right. Stay healthy.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, congratulations
again.
All right,
thanks, guys.
New dad.
Yes, sir.
Jared Goff. It is Carson Anderson from Lions Training Camp here on 97.1 The Ticket.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Doug Harsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Practice has wrapped up here. Another day of joint practices with the Miami Dolphins. Our football coverage on 97.1 The Ticket is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And we continue our coverage here from Lions training camp. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, and DJ Reed is here. New Detroit Lion. More importantly, who do we got with us, DJ?
I got my daughter, Kinsley. She want to sit in my lap. So
okay.
It's all good. You going to sit, KK?
you want the
Sharpie?
Marker?
Yeah, she loves Sharpies. you got some paper?
I did. Yeah, sure.
Go ahead.
Draw whatever you want.
Do your thing.
Here,
do your thing.
We want to put it on.
There we go. Now we working.
Yeah. Let's see what she comes up with.
Oh, let me see your artwork.
All right. So how are you enjoying your time as a Lion so far?
I'm loving it. We work. It's just... It's competition every day. You know, when we play against the offense, you know, on defense we want to dominate, and vice versa on offense they want to dominate. So it's iron sharpens iron, and it felt good to, you know, compete against somebody else these last 2 days and get work in from a different group of wide receivers and a different group of men. So it was great work at this joint practice today and yesterday.
I think this is your fourth team that you've been with in the NFL. Can you compare the different training camps and what they're like?
Yeah. my time on the Jets, the training camps were really competitive as well. But I think being here, the competition is just a little bit more. I was talking to somebody, like, the live tackling periods was like that brought back, like, the old school days of when you're young and you you know, you get up and you got to, you know, make the tackle. So things like that are pretty cool, and it makes it very youthful and makes the energy feel better. But we're definitely getting after it. We're getting in great football shape. We're starting to increase our reps at practice. And, yeah, we're just getting better. That's the goal, is just to get better every day.
Now that you're here and you're seeing this training camp, is it no surprise why Dan Campbell's been successful as a head coach?
Yeah, it's no surprise. Everything makes sense. You know, one thing that Coach Campbell does a lot of is situational football, whether it's walkthroughs, whether it's in the meetings. He's always talking about situations. And that's ultimately what the game comes down to, is, you know, two-minute end of half, two-minute end of game and stuff like that. And he definitely emphasizes that. So, you know, when those moments happen, it makes sense why, you know, we more than likely come out on top.
Your season ends with the Jets. You go home, you get to watch the playoffs, see what unfolds there. You start planning where you want to be. How did it unfold that you came to be a Detroit Lion, and, you know, how did all that contact kind of work out?
Well, I didn't really know I was going to be a Detroit Lion until free agency came. I know they had interest after the combine, but a lot of teams did. But yeah, when free agency, you know, the tampering period happened, you know, they showed interest, and, you know, it was a very intriguing place. The two safeties that I was going to be playing with, Amik the nickel, was very, you know, it just made sense. Then you got Hutch, you got Hutch on the D-line, you know, you got Campbell, you got everybody. So, I mean, it just made sense for me to go there and, you know, be a piece. And, you know, my goal is to win a Lombardi, and, you know, we have the guys to do it. Just got to stay healthy and, you know, just take it one day at a time.
You laugh when you say Hutch, and I think everybody laughs when I say, because now that we've seen him and he's back, he's healthy, that he healed up from the broken leg, because that was a big concern for Lions fans in the offseason. But, I mean, you see what he's like in practice now, ready to go 100%, knowing he would have made a big difference for the team last year in the playoffs and he wasn't available to him along with several other guys. But what do you see from this guy?
You know, in the NFL, you have we like the joke, but in the NFL, you have, like, man boys, like, man amongst boys, and you know, every team has one. he's that one on our team. Like, he's just different. Obviously, if you look at him, he's a specimen, but just the technicality he plays with and the hand movement, the explosiveness, he has the strength to beat you, he has the finesse, I don't want to say he perfected the DN position, but, like, if you go and create a DN, you probably want him to be like Hutch, you know, Hutch, like a Nick Bosa type of guy. So he's like that.
DJ Reed, one of one. DJ Reed with us here on 97.1, a ticket from the Lions secondary. Have you had much of a time to look at what Terrion Arnold is bringing to the table? Because last year, a bunch of penalties early. They calmed down in the second half of the season. He played more reps in man coverage than any other corner. But what do you see with this young kid opposite of you?
T.A. is ready. He's ready. You know, I didn't know him last year, but, you know, when he came into camp, he was ready. You know, he wasn't turning down anything. He was winning all of his one-on-ones, and then it transitioned to team periods. The confidence he's playing with, you know, the smack talking, you know, he's ready to prove, you know, himself right and everybody wrong. And he's made that very clear, you know, on social media and in person. But, you know, he's out looking to prove, you know, that he's one of the ones. And I definitely see it, and we just have to let it transition into the regular season.
Does he ever stop talking?
T.A. is a one-on-one guy, man. I never met anybody like T.A. That's he's authentically himself, and I love that. Just this morning, he just brought up some random facts to me, and I'm like, bro, it's 8 in the morning. I'm like, bro, he brought up 3 different subjects to me. I'm like, bro, it's 8 in the morning, bro. Can we just eat? Can we eat breakfast and just chill, bro?
What do you got? What do you say?
I can't say it on the radio.
Okay, fair enough.
I can't say it on the radio.
Understood. Certainly not with your daughter in your hand. You look at what this team is and what they want to be, and, you know, you came from a team. You talk about iron sharpening iron. You got to go up against practice last year against Aaron Rodgers quite a bit. You've got Jared Goff here. Mm. Talk about this offense, man, and what this offense does. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jamison Williams, these are the guys you're going against every day in practice.
Yeah, man. I would just say the offense is definitely special. First, it starts with Goff. You know, he's just a pro's pro. And then the old linemen, they're great. You look at Sewell, he's, you know, one of one. Then the tight ends. Tight ends are great players. The running back duos, best duo in the league. Knuckles and Sonic. Then you got, you know, arguably, which I think is the best receiver duo as well, in J-Mo and Saint. J-Mo, you got to respect his speed or he's going to run by you. And Saint, he could do everything. And he's just a tough cover. And Goff is going to get him the ball. And he's going to catch the ball whether he's double-teamed or not. So it's a problem. Our offense is a problem for other teams.
Well, we appreciate your time. People can't see it, but your daughter's adorable.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I told you she's going to go to town.
She
I
did.
I like what you're drawing. She's drawing.
I think it's spaghetti.
That's beautiful. Yeah. What did you draw? What is that? What?
Owl.
What is it?
An owl.
An owl?
An owl. Okay, interesting.
Let's show the feed here to the cameras. This is an owl.
That's an owl.
That's an owl right there.
Owl by KK.
Yeah.
Nice job.
Hey, appreciate your time. Thank you.
Of course.
DJ Reed, welcome to Detroit.
Come on, we're done.
With his adorable daughter. It is Carson Anderson. We're at the Allen Park headquarters of the Detroit Lions. Much more to do. Stick with us here on 97.1 The Ticket. All right, Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket from Allen Park. It is Lions and Dolphins joint practice day. Big day out here. Maybe the biggest of training camp so far. Great to be with you here on a Wednesday. Good morning, Scott.
Morning, Doug. Like, are you putting pressure on the practice already?
I am putting pressure on the practice already. And we're going to get right into it as we welcome in new Detroit Lions tight end coach Tyler Roll in his first year with the Detroit Lions. Coach, welcome to Detroit.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been an awesome opportunity for myself professionally, but for my family. You know, the ability to surround ourselves with new people, new community, so welcoming. And, it's been a lot of fun so far.
How did all this unfold for you becoming a member of the Lions staff?
Yeah, great question. So I got to know Dan. I was at North Dakota State for a long time, 17, 18 years.
That's a long time.
And played there, grew up there. We had a pro day, and our quarterback at the time was Trey Lance. Trey Lance was going through the pro day, and Dan was there with some staff members, and I just approached him. He had just gotten done with his press conference not long before that, and I admired his message, the way he saw football, his philosophy on how to win games, and just his messaging. And I just approached him and had a few words with him, and then we hit it off, stayed in touch, and one thing led to another. I had interviewed actually a couple years ago and didn't work that time, but we stayed in touch, and this offseason we got back in touch, and everything happens for a reason. Timing is everything. And now was the right time for me and my family. It's just an unbelievable opportunity.
When you talked to him, when you approached him, did you get the sense at that moment that he was receptive to what you guys were doing at North Dakota State? Because you were the offensive coordinator at the time, is
yes.
that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you guys constantly kind of put guys in the NFL from Notre Dame.
And you constantly kind of win, too.
Yeah. You don't know. And it was great, like, synergy, communication. Like, we have a very similar mindset, you know, like how I see offensive football, right? The most physicality wins, and the most physical team is going to win. And like, so how and why we're activating certain schemes in the run game, being efficient and multiple in the pass game. Overall, like, simplicity equals velocity, and how can you break down things to the simplest manner and teach it? It was a great conversation, great communication, and from there just continued to just feed off one another and stay in touch.
You know, we kind of alluded to it, the amount of success that program has at North Dakota State. It's amazing. You guys won, I don't know how many championships, are you, 7 or 8 championships while you were there. How does the offense that you ran there translate to what you're walking into here?
Yeah, very pro style. You know, and even from the day that I stepped on campus there in 2004 as a player, the carryover. But, yeah, there's an evolution, you know, in terms of how the offense evolved there and the things that I even adapted and changed my time as a coordinator. But very pro-style, meaning the run schemes that you're going to activate, how multiple you're going to be in shifting and trading and motioning to create advantageous angles in the run game and create, you know, maybe you can get locked looks with a certain shift, with a certain personnel grouping. You know, where can you get the right matchup from, hey, maybe we don't want to block this D end with this tight end. How can we create a better matchup for the tight end? And then just whether it be zone scheme, gap scheme, and then you go to the whole pass game side. You know, what concepts do you want to utilize and activate versus zone? What do you want to get to versus man? You know, the whole protocol and systematic communication that is involved at the line of scrimmage to get to those certain schemes. So there was a lot of carryover. And I think that's why you have seen a lot of players from NDSU go to the NFL. You know, they've been trained within a system. It isn't, you know, and offenses have their own feel, right? It isn't just a system where you're looking over the sideline, getting a call and going to run it. No, there are things that you have to process change at the line of scrimmage, the NFL protection style within the drop-back pass game, and then the different play-action schemes that we utilize as well. I think that just put me in a position to come here, learn. Now, there's great people that I learned from here in my short time here that has helped have a pretty seamless transition.
How did those schemes change from the time you were a player there when you were running back? By the way, hell of a career. I looked it up this morning.
Thank
the last
you,
couple
you.
Of seasons. A man had like 34 touchdowns on the ground the last couple of years and like 2,500 yards rushing.
Strong.
Not bad. But you mentioned you spent all that time there at the university in one capacity or another. How did you see that offense evolve constantly over the years? Or was it basically the same thing and just might throw some different things each year?
Yeah, the standard of physicality and the schemes that we used in the run game, they didn't change. How we got to them changed. So instead of just going, I write 40 power, maybe it was, let's go, hey, reduce to I write F peel 40 power, just to dress it up a little bit. So there was a whole evolution in the presentation of the play, and maybe just doing out of certain unbalanced formations, some formations that we're not able to do at this level, but just a whole presentation of the scheme, and then utilize maybe a little bit more quarterback run game with it. We had some pretty dynamic quarterbacks in Carson Wentz, Easton Stick, Trey Lance, to Cam Miller, who just got drafted by the Raiders and had a great first preseason game. But utilizing quarterback read, quarterback power read, yet the scheme up front was the same for the O-line. Demanding of physicality up front was the same. So that's how we were able to have success. It was similar in scheme, but just different in presentation.
Tyler Roll, Lions tight end coach, with us here from training camp, 97.1 The Ticket. All right, when you watch the Lions last year and look at points of emphasis this year, offensively, what are areas? I'm sure you want to get better everywhere, but what are areas that the coaching staff and the team has identified? We need to be better at this in 2025 than we were in 2024.
Yeah, it's hard to pinpoint a lot of things for a top 10 historical offense.
Fair.
But, you know, there's always things like how do you win games? Well, you take care of the football. Ball security is at a premium. That's been a huge emphasis from the time that I stepped on campus here and stepped in the building. You know, pad level at the line of scrimmage. How can we create leverage and play with power and, you know, play with physicality at the line of scrimmage? And that's across the board. And I think you've really seen that out on the perimeter now in this preseason. Scotty Montgomery is having these receivers play with physicality out on the edge, and that's awesome. Hoping you're seeing that out of the tight ends and fullback as well. But that's huge. And, like, how can you stay on schedule? You know, you need to be efficient on first and second down, not getting third and long plus. How can you make off-schedule plays? So utilizing scramble drill, you know, having certain times where you're having and Jared and the receivers on the same page and you're off schedule within the play and guys are understanding where to get to, how to get to those with maybe be open field scramble drill or red zone scramble drill. Those are just a few. But, you know, there's a lot, you know, of really, really positive things that this offense has done over the last couple of years. And how can we just, you know, even for myself, how can I add value to an already unbelievable system?
The position group of the tight end in the NFL has evolved to the point today where it is a giant weapon on offense compared to where it was maybe 10, 15 years ago, a lot more block-oriented. But you've got to find that balance because the run game is so important for the Lions. How have your guys embraced what you're trying to introduce, maybe something new this year?
Yeah, it's an unbelievable group. You know, low ego, high capacity, and all about the team. And that's what I appreciate. They've bought into the how and why. Like, my number one thing is, okay, well, what's the goal? well, our goal is to go and play deep in the playoffs. I want a Super Bowl. So I go, okay, well, how can I term to these guys, like, the type of pad level that we need to play with? Well, let's play with Super Bowl pad level. You know, let's play with leverage. Let's play with physicality. My number one goal for them is to be the most physical group in the National Football League. And we get an unbelievable matchup every single day out here with Hutch, right? And iron is sharpening iron, and they've honestly, I think they've done a really, really good job so far. Davenport's an unbelievable DN. So happy with the way that they're trending in that direction. But how I was coaching the offense at North Dakota State, I mean, we need to be opportunistic and then explosive when we get the ball in our hands. So, you know, having the marriage of the run game and the pass game, because we have dynamic players. You know, Sam Laporta has really played at a high level throughout his career, and I'm just seeing growth, daily growth. He's so curious in the why and how he can, you know, maybe block this defender. Maybe that's this first step, this second step, this leverage. How can I win on the front side of his own backside? I mean, he is so curious. Brock Wright, true professional, mature, understands, you know, what we want him to do and continuing to create value for himself within the offense. Shane Zylstra's done a really good job so far. It's like, how can we embrace that physicality and, you know, not think football but play football and cut it loose and change a few things with his stance so he can play with leverage. Zach Horton, a kid who we brought in who, you know, did a lot of wing tight end stuff but utilized fullback, utilized on the ball as a wing. And all those guys having the ability to flex out, play out on the perimeter, so we can be multiple and 12 personnel and 13 personnel and get certain locks out of defenses.
Okay, I mentioned it before the show, early in the show. Am I wrong? Is today the most important day, or the biggest day of training camp so far, joint practices?
Man, it's the one we've been looking for. You know, shoot, we've been going against these DNs for, I don't know, 15 days, 16 days. Now we get to go against someone else. How has the training improved the skill set? Have you truly taken advantage of the ops that you've had in practice? Now we get to go cut it loose. You know, but it's a lot. There's a lot that entails this practice, right? Yeah, a lot of it's the players. You know, where have they improved? Where has the scheme, you know, where have they been able to flourish within the scheme? But it's also us as a staff, right? You know, the communication that we have, the substitutions of personnels, the players on the field, the situational football that may occur within this practice, having everyone on the same page, having everyone in alignment to go forward with our goals. And, no, it's really big. But, again, it's one that we've been looking forward to. I know the tight ends this morning, they were ready to go. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see where they're at. It's going to be a good barometer to challenge us and just see how we've adapted and changed over the course of the last 7 months.
Your personality is reminding me an awful lot about somebody who else has come back to the Lions fold over the last 5 years or so, and it's Chris Spielman.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if Doug's saying the same thing.
When
but
he start talking about physicality, listeners can't see it. It felt like you got a little spittle.
Right, right.
I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. You're ready to suit up and get out there and play. I mean, you have that same kind of passion for the game. You obviously know what you're talking about, and you can't wait to get out there and see him play.
No, and you know that's a rock of this organization, and have great conversations with him and like his energy, love, passion for the sport, like resonates with me, and it's contagious. And you know, if we are going to, you know, confront and demand physicality the right way, play with an edge, and let these guys cut it loose and play, like, keep things simple for them so they can play with velocity and sprint off the ball, run off the ball, because that's what and how we want to operate, good things are going to happen.
Coach, I know you got a job to do.
I do. I'm excited for today.
Yeah, appreciate. Maybe report back afterwards and let us know how it went.
Yeah.
How the guys played it out.
Yeah, no, this will be good.
Great meeting you. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
Thanks,
Coach.
That is Tyler Roll, the Lions tight end coach, joining us here from Allen Park, the headquarters of the Detroit Lions on this joint practice day with the Dolphins. It is Carson Anderson. We'll get to what he had to say. Dolphins are out on the field warming up. All that coming up here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, your favorite Wednesdays are back at Twin Peaks. That's right. Just in time for fall, they're rolling back bourbons and brews. Stop in for your to your favorite lodge and see the always stunning Twin Peaks girls dressed in their finest black lingerie, serving up samples of high-end bourbon. But it's not just bourbons. Twin Peaks has their beer of the month for $5. All month long. Sampling starts at 6 p.m., so don't be late. And the fun doesn't stop there. Enjoy dynamite dishes from their scratch kitchen, like the in-house smoked ribs, brisket, and chicken, hand-cut New York strips, and fried-to-order favorites like the boneless wings and tenders. What brings it all together, of course, is sports. Local baseball team, of course, fight for a division crown. Afternoon game today. You got preseason football back this weekend. And they're in the thick. We are in the thick of fantasy football draft party season. It's Dream Cruise weekend as well. You got a big doubleheader fight night on Saturday. Twin Peaks, see the difference today. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Our second day at a joint practice out here at Allen Park as the Miami Dolphins buses have just rolled up. And the Dolphins have to rebound, apparently, from what happened yesterday. The Lions had a very, very good day. It was fun to watch, and we're excited to do it all over again from out here in Allen Park. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Let's bring in Lions linebacker coach Sean Dion Hamilton, who joins us. How are you, Coach?
Doing good. Excited for another day. I appreciate the beautiful weather we got. You know, I'm even glad that we're practicing at 10:30. Guys get so spoiled practicing at 8:30 in Michigan. You know, they need to see what it's like. A little bit warm outside, so I like it.
When you sat down with the film after yesterday's joint practice, did you see what it looked like to us? A very good day for you guys.
Obviously we are our biggest critic. You know, if anything, we can't be worried about our competition, our opponent, whatever. You know, it's a race to improve with us against us, you know, day in, day out. Let's see if we can stack days. You know, I mean, we've been to the playoffs years after years, you know. Now it's just, like I said, it's just all about us. So let's see how we come out and respond after having a good day.
Is this how it's gone for you guys? You really have just been stacking days on days. I mean, the offense has talked about going against you guys and how tough the defense has been. We had Jared Goff on Monday, and defense is incredible right now. What we got to see yesterday looked like to us was like total domination. Is it just stacking another day? Is that what it was for you guys? Or, you know, are there some things that you look at and like really got to shore this part up?
Oh, yeah, it was just a lot of things that we need to improve on. You know, we had a lot of offsides, penalties, DPIs, details, guys still not doing their jobs. And, I mean, you're talking about stacking the days. I mean, that's a long season, you know. And so with that being said, you know, guys need to be equipped and ready to play hopefully 22 games or 21 games or however many you play to get to that ultimate goal that we have. And we know that each game, you know, each week, you know, you got to stack. You know, if you don't in this league, if you don't play at a high level, you know, you'll lose. You know, so that's important that we now start callousing the body and start improving day in, day out, so that way we can be able to withhold through the long season.
Sean Dion Hamilton with us, Lions linebacker coach. You have a very deep and talented linebacker room. And let's start with the guys at the top. Alex Anzalone, Jack Campbell, Derek Barnes. You have to feel pretty fortunate to have that kind of talent.
Oh, yeah, I'm, you know, super grateful. You know, those guys, all of them are studs. Some of all three of those guys are probably some of the hardest workers on our team. You know, great leaders. I mean, great, great young men, you know. And we even take away those three guys, we got a list of even guys that's behind them that, you know, those three know that every day they got to bring it. Because, you know, it's guys behind them. Zach Cunningham, Trevor Nowalski, those guys, they're coming. Grant Stewart, just another name to name. But, I mean, yeah, we've got a great room.
Talk about the experience that you get from having a Zach Cunningham on this team. And this is a guy who started in the league for a while and was really, really good. asked to do a different role here with this team, but bringing that kind of leadership, that kind of experience, what does it mean to this young core?
It means a lot. I mean, whenever you can get a veteran guy who's played in this league, has played at a high level in this league, you know, to buy in and, you know, understand, you know, we're trying to do the things that we're asking him to do. Maybe things may be a little bit different from how he's played in the past. And, you know, like his total buy-in, you know, we appreciate that as an entire staff, you know, because a guy like that, you get it, right? He's made money. He can do whatever he wants to do, how he wants to do it, you know. But when the guy buys in, you know, that's part of the culture, you know. You appreciate that as a coach.
How do you get guys to buy in? You're a young fella. You're, what, 29 years old? This is your first year coaching the linebacker solely because Shep did it last year, and you get the promotion, he gets a promotion. How do you personally get guys to buy into what you're going to say?
Man, it's one way, and it's going to be a standard. You know, I got high standards for those guys, and, you know, if you can't do it this way, then I'll find somebody else to do it. It's plain and simple, you know. And I always say, I always heard Coach Saban say, the eyes in the sky don't lie. So when we hit play and we watch this film, if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, hey, I'm going to find somebody who's going to do what I'm coaching them, asking them to do.
You mentioned Zach Cunningham, one of your depth guys. Can you update the people on Malcolm Rodriguez and his recovery and when you guys might be getting him back?
So I know he's still rehabbing. He's going through the process. I'm not sure what's his timetable and stuff like that, you know. I know you were talking about those three guys. I always tell people, you know, don't lose sight of him. You know, even from, you know, when we're in meeting rooms, you know, I'm making a point of emphasis for myself to, like, okay, make sure I, you know, let's not forget about Rodrigo. You know, he's been a stud. He's going to be a stud this year for us when he comes back. But he's doing great in the rehab process. He's killing it. Once he's ready to rock and roll, I'm going to be excited to add him back to the holster.
I feel like the early returns on Grant Stewart is that the fans are going to love this guy. He plays with an energy and an enthusiasm. And whether he's a depth guy or plays more than that, tell us what your early impressions are of Grant Stewart.
I tell him every day he's a maniac. You know, you love that guy because he's the same person day in, day out. You know, and I remember it was one practice where, you know, he was maybe a little lazy, loafing a little bit. I'm like, dude, I'm like, are you sick or something? He said, no, Coach. Oh, yes. I said, because you showed on tape and on film how you are. So we only expect one way out of you. But the fans are going to love him. Love his personality. Love, man, every day he's bringing his hard hat. And I love, I'm glad we have him.
How did you – we asked the same question yesterday when we talked to Tyler Roll, the tight ends coach. How did you get on this staff? You know, I know you played with the team and had some injury issues, had to retire. But how did you – how were you able to latch on it and catch up with Dan Campbell to make sure that you had a spot?
I think I set the tone, you know, in 2021 when I was here as a player. Unfortunately, I ended up tearing my tricep first preseason game, but I set the foundation. I didn't know then as a player, you know, and AG, Dan, it was like, dang, they had no idea who I was, and I had no idea who they were. But, you know, from the training camp and how I was wired, how I was going about from OTAs to training camp, I'm like, man, this guy's, you know, pretty cool. Then they re-signed me in 22, and then you know, we had drafted Malcolm, we had D Barnes his second year, and then I wasn't maybe the guy, but I was a backup, but I was the guy who was like, okay, getting meeting, Shep is telling them, like, okay, y'all see him, this is how it's supposed to look, this and that. And, you know, I'm all good, I want those guys to be good at the time, and so, you know, I'm coaching them, helping them up and this and that. And then, okay, you fast forward till you get released, meet with Dan, meet with Brad, and had obviously met with AG and all those guys. And, you know, they said, man, if you don't have any serious interest from teams, you know, we want you back on our staff, you know. And for me, you know, that was year five for me. I had checked off all the boxes that made money, things like that. You know, I'm like, what better way than this group of guys, you know? And something in my spirit, you know, just told me that, like, man, like, latch on to these guys. You know, it's going to be better for the next 20, 25 years. I'm so glad that I stepped away when I did.
You knew right then, I'm going to go into coaching. You weren't going to try and keep playing?
Yeah, I did. Just because I think, you know, when you know how it is when your gut tells you something.
Oh, yeah.
I think at that point in time, I mean, from going to Alabama, winning national championships, to getting drafted, you know, starting in the league, all, like, I feel like I had checked off all the boxes, and I feel like, okay, my purpose was to start influencing and impacting other guys.
I want to ask you something about Alabama, because I just, for the heck of it, I wanted to take a look at the roster that you played on the second national championship that you were on. And you're on the defensive side, right? Some stars on the defensive side. But you had to go against Tua, Jalen Hurts were the quarterbacks. You got Devontae Smith, Najee Harris, Jerry Jeudy, Irv Smith, Henry Ruggs, more than that, Calvin Ridley, Bo Scarborough, we saw here in Detroit, Josh Jacobs, Brian Robinson Jr. Are you kidding me? I mean, every day in practice, what is that like in practice to see? Now, again, you guys had talent on the defensive side, but that's like a whole different world of what they had on the offensive side.
It was crazy. I remember when I first got to the NFL as a rookie, I'm like, I done already played against the best of the best. I mean, I done gone against T.J. Yeldon and Derrick Kingsbury every day at practice. You think I'm scared of any of these guys? You know, but, man, it was great. You know, I always say that those lessons that I learned at Alabama playing against those guys, competition brings out the best. Once you get to this next level, oh, it's second nature. Even coaching now, you know, anytime you can have competition and raise guys' levels of play, you know, it elevates the entire room, elevates the entire team. But it was, man, I loved the competition that Coach Saban had at Alabama. It made everybody better players.
Lions linebacker coach Sean Dion Hamilton, before we let you go, when the defense is out on the field right in front of us today and we're on the air, what are things that we should be looking for that will make you happier than you were yesterday, even though it went well? You said you're your own critics, so what should we be looking for today that will make you happier?
When guys are detailed and they're not making the same mistakes that they made yesterday, I'll be happy and I won't lose my voice.
Well, maybe give us a thumbs up if it's going well. Would you do that?
There you go. Right. There you go.
Hey, thanks for coming by.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks, Coach.
There he is, Sean Dion Hamilton, Detroit Lions linebacker coach, fourth season with the team. Joining us here to get our day going on 97.1 The Ticket from Lions training camp. We're going to do it all over again, just like we did yesterday from here at the Meyer Performance Center with the Lions taking on the Dolphins in a joint practice. And I hope it's as good as yesterday, because yesterday was fun to watch.
It's tough to live up to.
Michigan Auto Law Auto Accident Attorneys. They specialize only in auto and truck accidents. Many law firms don't specialize, but focus on many different areas of law. Because they specialize, Michigan Auto Law has recovered more million-dollar auto accident results than any lawyer or law firm in Michigan. And if you do your research, you'll see the truth about Michigan Auto Law, like the largest auto accident settlement and the largest truck accident settlement of any lawyer or law firm in Michigan. Call my guy Steve and his crew at Michigan Auto Law, the law firm that puts people over everything. Visit their website, autolaw.com. That's autolaw.com. All right, feedback regarding the Tigers. This game is on the smartest guy in the room, Hinch. He took three at-bats away from Carpenter tonight in a game you needed runs. Two of those three at-bats would have been against righties. Jones 0-3. And then so sick of seeing Jones in the place of our best hitter, Carp. It's ridiculous. Please stop. You know, I mean, he's pulled strings before. He took Carp out the other day, put Veerling hit a bomb. He's not going to get them all right.
No, and it's worked before where he's put Jamie Jones and he's come up with a big hit. But Jamie Jones over the last, like I mentioned, his last 60 at-bats, it's not a very good percentage for him.
Yeah.
So, and he's the last guy on the roster.
Yep.
So that's a guy that can be subbed out if they want to go and try to find something else.
All right, so Lions and Dolphins joint practices have wrapped up, and we're joined now by Christian Mahogany from the Detroit Lions offensive line. I don't want to overstate the case here, but did you guys just whoop their ass?
We'll answer that. We'll see on the film later.
Smart answer. everything we looked here, your offense over here was scoring and your defense was stopping them.
Yeah, that's
good.
Did
you feel – let's slide the mic up a little bit.
Yeah, the energy was good. I didn't feel the defensive side, but obviously you guys – I believe you guys' word. So, but offensively we did our thing, I feel like, a little bit. We got the ball rolling.
Yeah. A lot is being asked of you and the interior of the offensive line. How ready are you for this challenge?
I'm excited. You know, I've said it before, pressure makes diamonds, you know. So I'm ready to go. I mean, I feel confident. We got a good group, young guys, some younger, some older. We got guys all the same age, you know, way more experience, maybe less. Like Tate, Panay, and I are all the same age, but Panay's got 5 years, my second. Tate's is first, so you know, and then we got the two old guys, you know, like to take care of them as well, but they take care of us more than we take care of them. So
So talk about the progression of what it was like for you as a rookie last year, and then at the end of the season when you're getting some big-time reps, and now you've got your second training camp to go through, and how different it feels for you, and how you mentioned you're more confident. Yeah. Where can you kind of point to where it is?
You know, last year I didn't really get a training camp. You know, I had mono. I came down with that. It was a bad case of mono and stuff like that. And then I came in, you know, no expectations from anybody really. I just came and tried to do my thing. I just came and tried to do my thing late in the season to try and get reps. You know, Coach Fraley, Coach Campbell, when my practice window opened, that was big for me. I tried to just learn and get as much reps. I didn't know if I would play or not. And then those reps definitely helped. You know, I played in two games last year. It just – we got that out the way, you know. So now there's no excuse for anything on my part. I just got to continue to build and grow.
When you did get that playing time, did you know right away, hey, I belong? Or did it take a few reps, a few series, a few – even the two – both games?
You know, it's good feedback, of course, the games. But, you know, hearing it from your teammates, the other coaches, the D-line, they're like, okay, like you do this really well and stuff like that. So I kind of had a feel. I felt like, you know, in practice I was doing some good things. So I felt like I belonged for sure.
Right side, left side, does it matter
for
you?
No, it doesn't matter. I played both. You know, right maybe more comfortable, maybe a little different, but now – full-time left, so I'm going to just keep doing my thing for sure.
Yeah.
It's not your fault.
You want to switch out the headset there and see if we can get a better one? Get up, because this one's continuing to give him problems, and we'll sort this out. Is that better?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, so today, Amon-Ra looked uncoverable. Do you have any sense for that, like in practice when you're blocking for him?
Yeah, doesn't he always feel like that, though? Yeah. You know, uncoverable. Yeah. He works very hard. He's one of the best guys I've ever been around, you know, just people in general, not just football players. He was obviously raised really well. He's a good person, and he's humble, you know. Later guy drafted, and he has an edge, and he always keeps that chip on his shoulder, no matter the case. He got paid, whatever. He's still the same guy. So I love Amon-Ra.
Is there an advantage for having the three of you guys in the interior kind of coming in together at the same time, as opposed to, you know, one guy starts one year, another guy starts another year, and then 3 years down the road you bring in a third guy? But you guys are all going in there together this year.
Yeah, I feel like our chemistry, and we're meshing really well, you know, what we like to say, what we don't like to say, you know, how Tate likes to block, how I like to block, how Graham sees blocks fit, everything. It's just we all talk to each other initially, and like last year we had, you know, myself go in and Yodi, we had all those guys, but we were just one piece to like a structure. So it's kind of like you have to gel all in one, and then it all comes together very quick.
So we're growing very accustomed to guys that are, I don't know, six-round picks becoming quality starters. What is the secret to the sauce? What is Brad Holmes seeing in guys like yourself and others where he's getting starters out of every round of the draft?
I don't know. You know, I felt, you know, I don't like to live in the past, but I felt really good about, you know, my combine and everything of that nature, like that whole draft process. Maybe a team, you know, I don't know what was said, what was done. I don't know. Behind closed doors, but you know, I fell, you know, into the perfect scenario. Maybe it was better for me in a case. You know, it makes me have a chip on my shoulder, and I always remember those days, and it just fuels me and makes me a better player.
You know, you have probably not a huge sense for this, but you know, lifelong Detroiters here, and you used to get the sense that when guys came to Detroit, that the reaction was, "Oh, I'm going to Detroit." And now, it feels like it's changed.
Yeah, I texted. Like, we were in, like, my Madden group chat. Like, we're doing, like, a franchise before the draft, obviously.
Right.
And I was like, I said, like, before Zeitler got signed here, I was like, imagine, like, myself and Panay Sewell, like, on deuce blocks. Like, what would that be like? I said, I'll be – Detroit's, like, a premier spot.
And what did your boys in the Madden group chat think of that?
They thought, like, they were like, holy – you know, I can't say, but they were like, holy – like – you know, so, I mean, and we saw it live in the game, so it felt really good to play next to Panay Deck as well. So, it's unbelievable. Those are the guys, not Panay, but like Decker, you know, I grew up on, you know, watching young guy Madden, all that stuff.
How is your Madden game?
Oh, I love Madden. That's my favorite game. I like Madden, 2K. I like everything, really. I play all the games. MLB, I'm sneaky. I love MLB The Show.
Yeah.
I'm a sneaky MLB guy. I don't really like to go to the games as much, but the game's the game.
So who do you play with?
So we play, like, Diamond Dynasty. It's like create your own player. Like, it's like Madden Ultimate Team, but just baseball players.
Gotcha. Could you create yourself as a player?
No.
Come on.
I would, but, I mean, I can only play catcher or first base. That's all I could do. I'm not like agile. I'm not doing shortstop or center field or anything like that.
Which young guy has impressed you? Whether a player you've gone against? I mean, you're a young guy. I don't know, yeah. but who's caught your eye?
I think Isaac Tesla is really doing really well. You know, sitting on the sideline at games, I feel like he has a good catch ball point with the quarterbacks. The quarterbacks know that he can go up and get it at any time, and he blocks well. That's his thing. Like we saw it today, he got some reps with the ones. He's blocking all the way in the end zone. You know, that's what we preach here. So I'm glad he's able to adjust to the culture. So Tesla and Tate, of course. Tate's mind is really sharp for, you know, I mean, he's not a young guy, but, you know, for being someone, a rookie, you know, so.
Does it get annoying to have to pronounce the last name and emphasize the extra,
Mahogany?
Tesla?
Yeah. Tesla? No, I call him Mailtron. Like, Mailtron?
we've heard that going
around.
That's
what I call him, Mailtron. Optimus Prime is good because it's the opposite of, you know, Megatron.
Right.
So he wears 18, so we'll see. We'll see how they all fits in.
Well, it's been exciting, obviously, to see. What about being the hunted? You guys are clearly the hunted now.
In terms of what, everything?
Everybody's like the league.
I don't think we feel that way. You know, I feel like, you know, Coach Campbell, Mr. Holmes, everyone here that's been here for the long journey, you know, they don't feel that way. It's still the opposite. Everyone on the outside could feel like, oh, we're coming after the Lions, but we're coming after you. That's how we feel. Like, it's not, oh, sit back, this is ours. We still got to go. Still got a lot to do.
Do you hear that respect? Mr. Holmes.
Mr. Holmes.
That's straight up respect.
Huh. Well, hey, look, great to be joined by you. Best of luck this year.
Thank you.
And you look ready for it.
I'm ready.
And the offense looks ready for it. Right. I feel like the defense got you guys ready for today.
They're really good. You know, our defense, really good. Coach Shep, he's got those boys rolling. You know, Hutch brings energy that's unbelievable. You know, at times it seems like, you know, he's unblockable. You know, we got good guys on the D-line. We got vet guys, Tyleek coming in. We got DJ Reader. You know, he's a hard-to-move guy, you know. We got Aleem coming back. Don't sleep on Aleem. Aleem's last year unblockable, in my opinion, as well.
Joint practice versus preseason game, which do you prefer?
I don't know. I haven't played in a preseason yet.
That's right. You didn't play last year.
I didn't play last year, and I haven't got the opportunity to play. Like,
yeah, so I think he's saying joint practice.
Yeah, joint practice.
Sounds like joint practice.
All right, well, good luck at Madden and MLB The Show.
Thank you.
Pleasure meeting you. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, guys.
Christian Mahogany off the Detroit Lions offensive line joining us here on Carson Anderson, 248-539-9797 here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. They specialize only in auto and truck accidents. Many law firms don't specialize but focus on many different areas of the law. You wouldn't go to a doctor who specializes in all sorts of medicine. Why would you do that with your lawyer? Specialization really matters. Educated consumers will choose Michigan Auto Law. Do your research and learn more at autolaw.com. Call my guy Steve and his crew over there if you ever need a lawyer for an accident, because Michigan Auto Law is the law firm that puts people over everything. Visit autolaw.com. That's autolaw.com.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.